I know I said some very deep things last Sunday, and also last Friday I said some things too. Any question?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I just want to ask this question. That most of the time we pray the grace.
We do what?
We say the grace.
The grace.
The grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But if we go by John 3:16, God said, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten Son. That I so love the world. what I want to find out is, there is no one and no place in the Bible where there is Holy Communion. The word Holy Communion is not used in the Bible. The word in the Bible is the Christ said, go and prepare the Last Supper.
So what's your question?
My question is one. The Holy Communion that Christ offered and that of Melchizedek, who is the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness, are they the same or different? And secondly, what level is Melchizedek called the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness, and Christ is called the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Righteousness? How, why, and how has the church forgotten the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness?
Praise the Lord. Can I also ask you, sir, by definition, who is a prince?
A prince is the son of a king.
Not just a son, but a heir.
Yes.
To a throne.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. In Hebrews chapter 7, can we open it?
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 6, the emphasis there is the priesthood, chapter 5 and chapter 6.
Yes.
The priesthood of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul was explaining that the priesthood of Jesus Christt is not in the Aaronic order.
Yes.
But it is in the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
The Aaronic order needed to change by the reason of death.
Yes.
When the high priest dies, another one has to be appointed again to replace the dead one.
Yes.
Therefore, that priesthood was not an everlasting one.
Yes.
But Christ did not come in that order.
Yes.
But he came in the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
Why? Because his priesthood is an everlasting priesthood.
Yes.
But who is Melchizedek? Go to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse, praise the Lord. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. It says, Hebrews chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, King of Salem,
yes, King of Peace,
Priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, that was in Genesis chapter 14, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first thing by interpretation, King of Righteousness, and after that also, King of Salem, which is King of Peace, verse 3. This is who he is, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Amen. Sir, who did Abraham meet as Melchizedek? Who? Who did he meet?
The King of Salem and the King of Righteousness, which in another term is God himself.
So Abraham met God himself. Correct? Praise the Lord. And who is Jesus Christ?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. That's why he's not King of Salem, but Prince of Salem. And remember that all power, all authority has been given to the Son. That's why when you see me, you have seen the Father. Melchizedek gave what? Bread and what? Wine. To who? To Abraham. That action, God was speaking of something that will happen through the body and blood of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave us the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Praise God. Praise God.
That is why he is a priest.
Yes. The point I want to bring there, if you mention it, the Aaronic priesthood was the priesthood that was from Aaronic period love is the prophetic order and the prophetic priesthood that can never be changed.
Sir.
That is not made by man.
Stand up, sir. Can you be on your feet, sir? No, stand up. No problem. Stand up. We are discussing. We are talking. You know, when you kneel down before me like this, I feel very humiliated. No, you are humiliating me. You are an elderly man. No, sir. I cannot talk until you stand up. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So I want to ask you, where do you worship?
I worship in Assemblies of God. At a point in time, God decided recently to separate me. And something happened.
Separate you to where?
Separate me to have my own personal ministry.
Okay, you have your ministry now.
Now, I decided, and I've been asking God, I really want you direct me and let me know the method and way I should work for you.
Amen. And
so I'm coming.
Yes.
So something happened. I have for so many years been trying to do something, or God has been directing me. I said, He told me and said, don't mind your age and your time. When I will use you, things, but I get worried. I said, how will I be used? What is the difference? Then he said, I should come down. That things are happening in the world, happening in the churches. And to the point, when he directs me and starts asking me to look into churches before I came in here, that's what I'm trying to let you know what brought me here.
Yes.
The day I decided, he told me, men have been using children and burying them in the house of God. They have been grinding babies and using them as soap. Things have been happening, revealing to me and to other people who are with me. I get afraid. I say, how do I do this work? Because I don't know which way to make. You are the only one that can establish a church and establish me. And it is things I'm seeing are beyond me. One day, I was holding a paper, and it was a Sunday song, and I saw the very way this place was demolished.
Hey!
I saw the church that was demolished. I read it like normal news, and I was worried. I said in the spirit, I said, how can a human being, even a government, no matter how, didn't they rapport, didn't they discuss with this church before they finally took decision to dismantle the house of God? And when I saw this, and now went into spirit in the night,
Dr. Michael,
I went into spirit in the night, the Lord woke me and said, I want you to go in there.
Amen. Put your hands together now for our God.
Yes, that's what brought me. And the time when I came in here, everywhere was in rambles. It was ordinary canopy and the rest of things. And I came up and looked the way the church was being run and the things that were going on and the administration and the way the prophets and other servants of God are working for God. And as I was inside the church, hearing the voice and the instruction of what I should do. That is why he brought me in here.
Clap your hands now, church. God bless you, sir. I needed to know your background, your faith. That's why I asked that question. Because from your questions, I was beginning to place you somewhere else, but now I understand better. My prayer is that the purpose for bringing you here shall be fulfilled in your life in the name of Jesus. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Can we clap our hands again for our God?
You were manifested to his pride and his life. We have brought the revelation by the light of Christ.
19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
Department you are put in a hotel,
and it offends your faith, you should resign from it. You change. Any job you do that offends your faith, you change. It's as simple as that. There's something Apostle Paul said. Can we open the 1 Corinthians chapter 5?
Most of us, and that's the truth, is we refuse to where we belong when we become Christians. That is the problem. When we come to Pastor Moses and talk about tradition to me in my village, with tradition, I will convert you that day to my own. Amen. Why? You refuse to declare your stand, then they will declare their stand for you. I don't expect that anybody who says you are a Christian to bow to any traditional rites that are contrary to your Christian faith. I don't expect it. But the truth is, I hope we are Christians. Praise the Lord. I'm also aware that there are churches that your father may have belonged to your mother, like Anglican. Now before you, they agree to bury her, they will check whether she has finished paying her tithe. That's another tradition. And that is Anglican tradition. So if I am not Anglican, my mother was Anglican, they don't expect me to pay the tithe for my mother to them. The woman is dead now, so I have the dead body to pay now. Why will you tell me to come and pay before you bury her? And if you don't bury her, you will be sure I will bury her. Praise the Lord. But we have not got to people who have risen up to face that. And so I see a lot of people, especially from the eastern part of Nigeria, when your mother dies, you are one of the reasons you cry is not because she's gone, but because of the problems that are confronting you from her death. Traditional one, the church own, the family own, and everything else. Well, God will see you through. We are Christians and we must declare our Christian traditions. And any other tradition that runs contrary to our Christian faith, it shall bow to our Christian faith. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Somebody, a call is coming from Spain. Sister Joy from Spain, yes?
Shalom, George.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, Sister Joy from Spain. Is it good to give policeman bribe? Let's define what bribe is first. What is bribery? In the context that you give to induce the policeman to give you unmerited favor, you've committed an offense, and so that you will not be arrested and charged, then you induce that policeman, you bribe, you give him the money to set you free. You have committed sin both against the law of the land and against heaven. So it is wrong in that context to bribe. Now, but when a policeman comes and demands that you give me this or I will do this, if you don't give me this, I know what I will do: squeeze you, finish you. And you give that money to that person to secure your freedom, you have not given bribe. That policeman has committed a sin against heaven and earth. That is extortion by the police. The police has extorted from you. That is not bribery. When you do that to secure the freedom you are entitled to, it's extortion. Praise God. So that you must define bribery very well. Okay, Sister Joy from Spain.
My question is from Acts 2 verse 38.
Yes.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I read this verse, and I also opened to Joel 2, verse 28, that all men should repent for the remission of their sin, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said that for the remission of their sins, before they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I know on the other hand that there is every possibility that a Christian or a person can receive a gift, a spiritual gift, before he receives Christ. Now what is this verse trying to say?
Why did you link it with Joel 2:28?
If I should look at it, maybe you might want to tell me that Shebi God said he will pour his flesh upon, he will pour his spirit upon all flesh. So I had to put it.
See, your reference should be Acts chapter 10 in the house of Cornelius, that they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. Because Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you read it, it means there is the order: repentance first, then the remission of your sins through water baptism, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. So what you are saying is, why are people receiving the Holy Ghost first before going for their sins to be remitted in water baptism? The Bible has answered it. It means you can truly receive the Holy Ghost first. But when you have received the Holy Ghost first, and it must be because you have repented. If you have not repented, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. So, and repentance is a spontaneous thing. You can receive the Holy Ghost, but the evidence, and that is why I have taught here several times, that you can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere. Even under a woman pastor, as we all know that women ministry like that, pastoral ministry, is not God's perfect will. Even under that, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Even in Catholic Church, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Even in select church, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Because even in your bedroom, you can receive the Holy Ghost. In your kitchen, you can receive the Holy Ghost. You may be traveling in a bus, you can receive the Holy Ghost. But how do we know it is the Holy Ghost? It will lead you to all truth. After that, it will cause you to go for your sins to be remitted, so that your salvation is completed. So yes, you can receive the Holy Ghost before water baptism. By this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Open John chapter 6. you come to me, he said, I will in no wise cast away. There's another scripture like that, isn't it? So it means everyone that comes, he accepts. But let me tell you, read verse 44.
John 6, verse 44.
Yes.
No man can come to me except.
Say it again, start again.
No man can come to me.
Say it again.
No man can come to me.
No man can come to me.
Except the Father which has sent me. Joy him.
So before you can come to Christ, although in Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me. But again, that scripture says, no one can answer that call. No one can come to me except the Father who sent me through you. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 13 again. From verse 47. Matthew 13, 47. Read it. That's a parable he gave concerning salvation.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net which was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind.
That is the call. That is the call now. He called everybody, all of it, the gospel, they caught everybody. The next verse.
48. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
So some will be thrown away. Correct? Are you following me? The fisherman went and caught plenty things in his net in the river and brought to shore. Did he accept all of them? There are bad ones that he threw back to sender. So is salvation. God bless you. Okay, there's a Skype. There's a question from Swiss. Sister Steph from Swiss. Sir, I want to know if the devil is the God of this world. It was taught in my school last Sunday, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 was quoted. And I was confused. Please, is it true? The God of this world. Praise the Lord. When you talk about the God of this world, you have to redefine the meaning of world. The word world is different from earth. The world here is talking about the systems that exist on earth. And the systems that exist on earth today, the controlling force is the devil. And that is why that same devil in Mark chapter 4, can we read it? Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. Matthew, not Mark. Matthew chapter 4. The temptation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 8. That is the third temptation. Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me, because they belong to him. Yes, therefore Satan is the God of this world, evil world. But very soon, the owner of the earth, for it is written, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He will come and take over the earth. And that demon will be put in a bottomless pit. And there shall be peace. Praise the Lord. For the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of His Christ. The Bible says so. So, Sister Steve from Swiss, they are correct in your Sunday school. Yes, brother.
Daddy, God bless you. Please, I need your humble advice.
Yes.
Daddy, by the grace of God, through your teachings in this church since I started coming, which has been helping us and still helping us, you know, our eyes of understanding to get opened. It happens that whenever I'm tuning a gospel channel and happens to come across Joyce Meyer, you know, I don't know, something always moves me to turn off the station with anger, you know, and this has continued severally. Looking at her appearance, the short hair, the earring, the trouser, you know, that even happened 2 days ago, and my wife noticed that. And she was telling me that big earring goes with short hair. So, Daddy, I don't know whether I need repentance because I've never been patient enough to listen to her.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Why will you be bothered about listening to Joyce Meyer? Is she in the message? Is she in the message? If she were in the message, then you feel guilty that she's preaching a message that God has said to us in this age and you are not listening. Then you feel guilty. She's not in the message. She belongs to the denomination and she's part of the reason why God sent us a message. She has no business standing at the altar there and preaching according to the Bible. But she's there exalted and, you know, flaunted around the whole world as some big preacher. Of course, you know she's a motivational talker. What I advise you to do is this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Approach, you know, your Christian faith. Let it be with all simplicity, childlike faith. It will interest you that I like to listen to everybody talking. And sometimes I gain some things even from that woman preacher. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I gain some things even from that woman preacher. But the truth is, we have known too much to subject ourselves to such a ministry. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. Our sweet victory is ours. Oh, we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded. don't have a there is a way that you have a critical mind until the spirit of criticism comes upon you and you see nothing good anywhere. Remember, I've told you here several times, I said, even God can use even a madman to talk to you. See? Sometimes I just put on the television like that too and begin to listen to some of them. You know, some really say nothing. There are some of them that shout a lot. They try to wait in the dark now. Nothing. I go change. Nothing. Amen. And then some will talk. And then, you know, the general message all of them have is the type of message Ahimaaz get. What did Ahimaaz, what was his message? All is well. That's all. That's all. All is well. All is well. You will make it. You will not, you know. And that is the title of the message that day. Amen. It's okay. That's why we continue to thank God for the message, for the end time message. I don't know how many people appreciate the opening of your eyes in this. Yes. If not, my wife will have been the preacher for tonight. Mommy should be the mommy. And everybody say, hey, mommy, I like the way she lift up, mommy. Should I have a special seat in one corner somewhere? The serious special rock. Serious one, special seat. When you enter, you will know that is mommy and daddy. Hallelujah. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. If you will go. Ringing now. message of the hour. That's the golden bell. It's ringing now for you and for me. One of these days, something will happen and this Bible will become real. There is heaven, there is hell, and there is a fire. There's a place of torment and there's a place of annihilation. One of these days, people will know that the sacrifices we made on earth here is not in vain. I'm telling you, that's why the answer to that sister, what sacrifice you make, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the songwriter says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his death, all sorrow will erase. All the sorrow you have, that we had on earth, I will erase. The day we will see him face to face. Hallelujah. He says, so bravely run the race till we see Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whatever sacrifice we are making now, let the world laugh at you, sister, that you don't put on earring, you don't wear trousers, you don't dress. Yes. Let your friends laugh at you that you don't go to nightclub. You don't have girlfriends and carry women up and down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever sacrifice we are making now, one of these days, but until then, joy we carry on. Suffered it in past. Sit down. Now that your friends they have a pass. Now that devil they use Yab remind you. See you. Amen. Whatever it is, hold on to him. One of these days, you will know that it was worth it all. Can we clap our hands for our God? That's the hope we have.
My Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. To worship you.
Because you
Iceland. He says, Shalom Chopper, some equation is about swearing. If you have a brother that wants to summon you to LLA church, the founder is Father Ede, and people who have gone for such summons say they swear with the Bible. I want to know if such practice is biblical. And the church, you say what? Revelated church, what do you say? So, our brother from Iceland. The Bible says we should not swear at all. Which scripture is that? Praise the Lord. Matthew. Praise the Lord. Let me show up the scripture. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 33. He says, again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this, cometh of evil. So let somebody go and help me and tell Father Ede to stop that. It is wrong. God bless you. Okay, another one again, Brother Unduka from Spain. He says, Shalom Church, after the 1,000 reign of Christ and his bride, Satan will be loosed for a short time. Now, where will Christ and his bride be at that time of the war of Gog and Magog? He's quoting Revelation chapter 20. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 20. Some people are studying. If he doesn't study, if you don't, people who ask questions, there are those who are studying. If you study, you must ask questions. Okay, verse 7, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. And remember that at this point, we get to verse 7, the saints in Christ have ruled for 1,000 years. We are here on earth with Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, the rest of us, the saints, judging the whole world, ruling with him for 1,000 years. When Satan is put in a bottomless pit, and therefore there is peace on earth. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And they went up on the bread of the earth and compass the camp of the saints about. Can you see something? And compass the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city of fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I believe that verse 9 answers your question. Where will the saints be? Where will Christ be? They will be here to confront him here on earth. He is loose to tempt the world again, and he will have followers. So much as there will be so many as the sands of the sea, millions of them. And they will encamp about the saints of God. And we are the saints. Praise the Lord. And not only us, but all those at that time too who will refuse to follow him. You gather to finish us. And just then, fire will come from above in that battle of Gog and Magog. Praise the Lord. So that is your answer. We shall all be here to face. It's a battle between us and Satan. Yes. Yes, please.
Shalom, Church.
God bless you.
My name is Sumudu from Switzerland. Daddy, I just want to ask a question. There is something that is just confusing me a little bit. As a Christian, maybe you are in a place, and maybe an armed robber came to attack you as a Christian you are, but to retaliate, maybe to kill them. Also, if you kill them, will you come to that person as a mother, as a murderer?
Brother Chukwudi from Switzerland, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly answer it this way. And I hope I'll be safe to answer it that way. In a moment of danger, when you face danger, whatever the Lord leads you to do at that hour, do it. And heaven will back you up. Because the Lord may lead you. The truth is, at the point of such danger, at the point of death, praise the Lord, there must be a reaction from you. The reaction will either be to begin to shout the name of Jesus, to start to pray, or disarm somebody that is armed. When you should have been running away, a threat comes upon you and you successfully disarm that person through enemies. You incapacitate him at that hour. You know that it's normally superhuman to do that. So that is why I say, as a Christian, whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do at that hour for your safety, heaven will back you up and it will not be seen. God bless you. Okay, sister.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
My question comes from Isaiah chapter 3:8.
What?
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16.
Read it.
Please, sir, my Bible is not in this one.
Yes?
It's not in this.
Whether it is Queen James. Two different settings. God bless you.
doctrine of the serpent seed. It's called serpent seed. Adam had his own seed, and the serpent had his own seed too. Now Adam gave birth to human beings. One for Adam, one for the serpent. Now my question is this: Why did Eve not give birth to a serpent for the serpent?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Adam had his own seed, and Eve gave birth to Adam's seed as a human being. Why did Eve not give birth to a serpent for the serpent?
Praise God. Populate the earth. It is those that they were left in the destruction to repopulate the earth. They are the ones. 1,000 years, you can imagine the millions of people, because there's no death, no sickness, nothing anymore. The Bible says when somebody is 100 years old, they will say he's a baby. So, this population explosion on earth. And among them, praise the Lord, there will still be children of the wicked one there. That they will only be tamed because Satan is in the bottomless pit. So when he's released, for everybody to show where you belong, that is the purpose of that release. So that everybody will know why you are going to hell in the white throne judgment. The fire. God bless you.
You were manifested to his pride.
Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
I was reading my Bible in the book of Hosea. And I read that God told Hosea to go and pick a wife of harlotry and gave birth to children of harlotry because of the sins of the children of Israel.
Yes.
Is it Hosea that caused that sin? Or is it the children that caused it, that the Lord told him, name them this name, not Peter, not my people, Jezreel. Is it their cause? Or is it their fault for the sins of the children of Israel that the Lord told him, go and pick a wife of harlotry and give birth to the children of harlotry?
There is another prophet again that was told to walk naked. Another prophet was told to eat shit. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. When God calls you, he calls you to fulfill a purpose. So he called Isaiah so that he will use Isaiah to make certain statements to the light. It was still part of his ministry he was doing. And you read later on and see what happened to Israel. So it's the same thing. So it is God just using it. It's not the sin of Isaiah. It's not the sin of Hosea. It's not their sin. But they are servants of God. God can tell you to give a message, thus said the Lord. And God can tell you to use an action also to pass a message if you are his prophet. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. God bless you. Sir, Pastor, I want to ask something. I got confused in Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. And they were drunken by the blood of the saints. And I got confused because Bible said in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, we the saints. But how come that the devil can, will be drunk by the blood of the saints again? I was confused.
The devil. He didn't say the devil there.
He said the woman
was drunken by the blood of the saints.
Who is the woman? Who is the woman referred to there?
It's a church.
Eh?
It's a church.
To be drunken with the blood, it means you spilled blood, isn't it? It's talking about the saints that that church killed and destroyed and shed blood. That's the reference there.
Okay. That the saints. The saints are not supposed to partake in the church.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
I asked you a question. I said that woman, Revelation chapter 17, who is she?
She's it's a church.
Which church?
To refer to it should be a Catholic church. As you have taught
us. Do you know the history of what the saints that are believers?
Yes, sir.
Of old.
Yes, sir.
The church history. Do you know what the saints went through in the hands?
Oh, Pastor, I understand. I now catch it.
You catch it now.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello. Shalom. Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Yeah, I'm Brother Uche from Austria.
Uche from Austria. Yes, we're hearing you.
Yeah, Pastor. I want to know why are we worshiping on Sunday? Because I'm a bride member. But the Bible said that we should keep Sabbath holy. Is it right to watch it for Sunday? Because I want to know from your idea. And again,
okay,
if somebody did something wrong to us, are we going, somebody who wants to kill you, or who will give money and you go and do something to kill you? It's better to pray for him to live or for him to die. This is my question.
Praise God. I don't know who can answer him. He says, should we pray for somebody that you know want to kill you? Do you pray for him to live or pray for him to die? Prophet Igbo says, it's as the spirit leads you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's open Matthew. Let me start with that before I come to your Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. Are we there? Verse 38. Ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, who is the person speaking? Thank you. That you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. It's important that we catch this, church. When Jesus Christ says, if he slap you on one cheek, turn the other way. If you follow it literally, I don't know how many people can do that. You stand before somebody, slap you, bah! Then you turn the other one, slap you also. I heard the story of a young man that was an evangelist somewhere in the east at the Hube Okigwe. He said, he met a guy, he said, you're a pretender, you're preaching what you cannot keep. He said, I keep everything I preach here. He said, okay, come. He sounded him. Towers. Young man knew what he meant. He turned the other cheek again. The man gave him powers. The man was going to give him the third one again. Then he heard the hand. He said, the Bible says only once. If you hit me again, you will know, say, righteousness is not weakness. Praise the Lord. From that scripture, you can see all the Bible is teaching is we should not retaliate. You must not retaliate. But if I know somebody wants to hurt me, what do I do? What we do is not to look for him and hit him. The Bible makes it very, very clear. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he said, the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? Cannabis what? Mighty through God. That is why when your enemy is tormenting you, you don't go and face them, you go on your knees. And when you're on your knees, you can kill him. When you're on your knees, you can paralyze him. Amen. What the Lord Jesus is teaching there is never you retaliate. Don't go and face the person. Remove my tooth and remove your own. You hit me, I hit you back. No. The weapons of our warfare. So first, the Bible recognizes you are in a battlefield. You are in a warfare. And warfare is two different camps fighting. But the weapons we use to fight this battle, they are not carnal, they are not physical. But they are mighty through God. That is prayer. When they are tormenting you like this, they abuse you, you leave them. Begin to start a fast. Go on your knees in your room. They don't know. The next day you wake up, you go look up. Yes. Something must happen. And it's not for you to enter your room and pray. Let the person hear you. I will show you that I'm serving a living God. You are doing this to me. Hey. Then you enter your room, he's hearing you. Father, whosoever shall we not leave. Father. And the person is hearing you. You are hitting back now. You are physically hitting back. Amen. Tell me anybody who a witch, when he's doing his invocation incantation against you, do you ever see it? Eh? But when you wake up, you go see the effect. So also it is with prayers. That's why we are here praying now. As we are here praying, certain prayer points we call, something is happening somewhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second part. Oh, Sabbath. Why do we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday? Listen. What's his name again? From Uche, from Austria. Yes. Listen. Let's open Colossians chapter 2. Verse 16 and verse 17. We can screen that so that Uche can see it in Spain. I'll be where. Now, this is Apostle Paul telling people who want to hold tenaciously to the law, the rituals of the law, those ordinances. He said, let no man therefore judge you in meat. That is what you should eat and what you should not eat according to the law. Some meats are unclean, some are clean. Or in drink. Shouldn't take certain type of drinks. Or in respect of a holy day. Certain days are holy. Or of the new moon, certain celebrations that are done monthly, or of the Sabbath days. He said, let nobody judge you concerning the Sabbath days. Why are you walking on a Sabbath day? Why are you this? Verse 17. He said, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. If it is a shadow, it means it is speaking of some other reality coming up. The Old Testament is a shadow of the New. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. In And all the ordinances in the Old Testament were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. They rested on Saturday. But Apostle Paul told us in the book of Hebrews, and he explained that in the book of Hebrews. And then you must also know that Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the rest now is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is our Sabbath. Praise the Lord. And we have to keep it holy. Because without holiness, no man will see God. Now, why Sunday? It is true that I don't know whether his name is Gregory or one of the bishops, the popes, the Roman popes, declared Sunday a day of worship. It is true. But remember, I want you to always remember that Catholicism was a marriage of idolatry with Christianity. Amen. Christianity, that is why she's referred to Revelation chapter 17 as a harlot and the mother of harlots. It's a marriage of idolatry with Christianity. After that popular meeting of Nicene in 8325, where it was agreed that Christianity should merge with their Roman pagan worship and see how we can come together and have one religion. So it will be a matter of give and take. That is where we have, in every Catholic church, there is always a shrine, either in front or behind, with the image, a statue of a woman that they call Mary. But remember that the hidden Rome were worshipping a woman before Christianity came there. And so they only changed the name from that woman they were worshipping before to Mary. And also, praise the Lord, and all so many other things that they merged together. Now, the disciples already, in remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they chose the first day of the week to always come together to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For one blessed Sunday morning, the first day of the week, they went to the grave and the angel announced to them there that he is risen. Why seek the dead, the living among the dead? And so, in commemoration of that, the disciples were already meeting. Christians were meeting on the first day. Not because it substituted a Sabbath, but because it was to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the Sabbath came under the old covenant. And the new covenant came to substitute the old covenant. And in the new covenant, it is Christ and Christ alone. Praise the Lord. And so when the Catholics, during that merger, accepted it, they also decided, okay, let that day be our day of worship. And they declared it a public holiday to enable people go to worship. But yes, they declared it, but it was still a merger. Because that day was already a day of a hidden worship known as Sunday. The day dedicated to the sun god. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they are all days dedicated to Roman gods. Praise the Lord. And that day was already a day of worship that was now declared for Christian worship. So it was not given to substitute Saturday as the Sabbatarians tend to preach. No. It was a tradition of the Christians before the Roman church came about. God bless you.
My Father and my God.
Oh.
You own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord.
Because you love me so, you alone. Oh, now only you alone.
Sing it.
From who? Ikwonobe. From France. From Sister Ikwonobe from France. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they are coming falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Please, sir, what is that falling away first? Praise the Lord. The falling away first is from two areas. Number one, Apostle Paul was telling the Thessalonian church that Christ will not come until the total, that falling away first. Go to the lexicon, the Greek lexicon there. It is talking about total rebellion. The word there is total rebellion. The fall away is rebellion. Rebellion from the apostolic faith. Fall away from the faith that was once delivered to us. That's why Jude verse 3 says we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Contend because there will be attempts for the faith to be, you know, the shift away from the faith to be polluted. Now, and Apostle Paul at that time was saying that this Bible Christianity, time is going to come when people we, you know, move away from this apostolic faith. And because God also knew that there will be a falling away from the faith, he could reserve the restoration ministry in Malachi chapter 4. Hallelujah. To restore us back to the apostolic faith. But also it's a sign also of the end time. The falling away, the rebellion, and the all the world all over, you can see that man in a state of rebellion has gone worse and is going worse and worse until now. There are people who say they are followers of Satan, the church of Satan. There are people who declare that we are Satanists and they will dress like the way Satan is portrayed in movies and say it's our papa. And there are people that can stand and say there is no God. They say they are atheists. How can a human being turn and say there is no God? That is a rebellion. And if it's anything at all, you can see the way that degenerated into now. Until there is now same-sex marriage. Enshrined even into the constitution of countries whose tenets were based on the scripture, the Bible, like America. America's constitution was derived from the Bible. There were people who needed freedom of worship that went to America. But you see what that freedom has degenerated into. And there are states in America that passed the bill. States in Europe that have passed the bill. And what is most curious to all of us, is that largely the religion in the European Union, largely the dominant religion there is Roman Catholicism. And yet they are the ones in the parliament, they are the ones everywhere, they are all Catholics, and yet they are the same people that have passed the bill for same sex. And if you cannot read anything from there, you can't read anything anywhere else. A state of rebellion. Look at what is going on. Immorality broken down. Now a man can marry a man. and they come up plainly to say, yes, it's our right. A woman can marry a woman. It's our right. Now you call it abomination. But they say it's human right. And that is the rebellion Apostle Paul was talking about. And remember, it was at this state that Sodom and Gomorrah reached that God said, it don't do. That lets you know that God will soon come to this earth and say, it don't do. It is a sign of the end. Praise the Lord. That is the meaning of that statement. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Can we clap our hands for Jesus? I love what Apostle Peter said to console us. 2 Peter chapter 3. I love the way Peter put it there to console us. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, I think it's the same Paul. If I remember that scripture very well. 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back to Thessalonians, I think. Amen. It is. Sorry, Thessalonians. And the whole world is drifting apart. And all of us, we are looking. Chapter 2, that same scripture, that is where we find it, yes. I know that Peter also mentioned the same thing for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast and hold the traditions. Stand fast. Should you say, contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. I think it was Peter that said, we are not of them that drop back to perdition. No, we are not ordained to go to perdition. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, if anybody is doubting whether this world will soon end, it shouldn't anymore. The handwriting is on the wall. This was exactly the stage that Sodom and Gomorrah was. And God said, no, if we don't do something. And what happened? Fire came down. And fire is waiting to come down again. But before that fire will come, we shall be gone. Praise the Lord. How many people are ready for the rapture? God bless you.